Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Trish Lay. She's a life coach, and she's been motivating people to make changes in their lives for over 20 years. She's written several articles on harmony through conflict and finding your authentic self. And she has an extensive background in spiritual psychology and human behavior. Are you there, Trish?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Glad you're there. Sorry we had a little wait there.
That's okay. No worries.
Yeah, it all depends on whether the program before us overruns slightly. So at least you're there anyway.
I'm here.
How you feeling?
I'm good. How about you?
Yeah, well, I'm fine. I'm getting used to this now. Now, the $64 question, as they say, and I like this one, is how did you get into all of this? Where did it start, and what led you to your present position and interests?
Well, you know, I had worked I'd worked several years in the entertainment business.
Oh, yes, yes.
Thinking that that was where I wanted to be since I was a little kid. I always thought, you know, I wanted to be an actor or do something with entertainment. And so I worked in there for several years, and I never moved up to where I wanted to be. I never really got to where I thought I could have been. And after a really horrible, horrible experience in working with a talent agency, I walked out, and I really had to step back and go, okay, I have to figure out what I was brought here for. Because I know within myself I really wanted to be a help to people. So I thought very hard about what is a constant pattern with me. What is something that I constantly do that I could turn into a career. And one of the things that really was a common denominator was any job that I had worked at, I had always been like the go-to person. If someone was having a bad day, they come and vent, or they come and talk it out, or if they had a problem, they would always come to me. I was like the resident psychologist at any job I did. And I thought, well, you know what? Why can't I turn that around and really take my talents? That's where I believe my real talents lie,
right.
And
yes.
Turn them into help people. Plus, I've had so many experiences in my life that it really would be a waste not to give back, you know, to pay that forward.
Yes.
So
yes.
I thought life coaching would be the perfect example to give back to people that I know, or to future people that I will know.
Yeah. So let's just get back to when you were in the entertainment business. I mean, what part of entertainment were you in?
Well, I started as a stand-up comedian.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then that scared the bejeebus out of me one time when I did a contest for Virgin Atlantic Airways. They were actually going to put comedians on their flights.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a contest for them at a local mall. And I was used to doing stand-up comedy in dark, seedy clubs where people, you can't see anybody. And you didn't know how many people were there. But this was at Christmas time. It was in a mall. There were a couple stories. And you just look out and you see, you know, hundreds of people. And
yeah.
I just blanked out, and I think my routine was probably a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ended up walking off stage just going, yeah, okay, I don't think this is for me. And then I went into situational comedy. I worked with Second City for a while, and then I did some sketch comedy with some local comedy troupes, improv comedy, and then I did... I did some acting here and there. It was never anything big or anything that I could, you know, say, look up on the internet database. But it was, I always had a good time doing it, but it just never succeeded like I had hoped. I wasn't moving forward. It was always kind of like a constant stay. There wasn't any projection. So Then I went to work at behind the scenes. I thought, oh, well, maybe it's behind the scenes is where I need to be.
Yeah.
And I went to work at some talent agencies, in some large talent agencies in Los Angeles. And that's where I just finally went, yeah, no, this is not.
Yeah.
This is not where I'm supposed to be. The talent, the entertainment industry, is it breeds insecurity, and you really have to have a particular personality to work or be within with the entertainment industry, and it's really, really difficult. It's a really difficult arena. So
I should think you need a lot of patience and a lot of hope, because if it's anything like the impression I have of it, you're work is sort of far and few between, and you just have to live in hopes that you make it somewhere.
Almost definitely. I mean, talk about tenacity. You just, I mean, like you said, it's the work is very few and far between. What we see, you know, the movie stars, the people who make millions and millions of dollars, that's not really, if you put it in perspective, that's really not a lot of people. And in Los Angeles, you know, one out of three people wants to be an actor.
Yeah.
And there's just not that much work. And what the entertainment industry, too, is changing so much with media and everything going through the internet. It's just really it's just really taxing on a lot of individuals. A lot of broken dreams. It's really unfortunate.
I bet. Yeah. Now, you clearly found your right vocation, because as I mentioned, introducing you, you've been doing this type of work for over 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I actually, if I really sit down and think about it, even as a kid, I would have adults talk to me about their problems and we would talk it out. It's just a really, you know how you meet someone and you say, gosh, they have an old soul?
Yes.
They may be really young, but you can tell there's just something about them that has a particular sense of wisdom, even though they may not have experienced anything. That's kind of how I was described as a child, as people felt comfortable enough, I guess I should say, to tell me their problems or their feelings, and they knew that I wouldn't judge them or point the finger at them or tell them what to do. It would just be a matter of, well, you know what, let's talk about it and see if we can figure it out, type thing.
It's often all people want is someone who will be sympathetic and listen to their problems, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. I think that's the biggest reward about being the biggest asset about being a life coach, is that you allow another person the opportunity to just listen to them.
Yeah.
Because so many times our words fall on deaf ears, and like, my boyfriend's not listening to me, my husband's not listening to me, I just need someone to really hear me. And so it's almost like being a professional sounding board, you know, of just getting all the goo out and hearing yourself as you're doing it. I think that's really important too.
Yeah. Now, I'm amongst the people that believe in reincarnation, and in your case, I would guess that you came into life with a specific life plan and that you were meant to do the work you're now in. Do you have any thoughts or feelings along that line?
Well, you know what, Mike, that's really interesting, because I often have said to people, and they kind of raise an eyebrow and look at me, that I can remember before I was born. I can remember, and I can't say, you know, it was so-and-so talking to so-and-so. It's more of a feeling that I can go off of. But it was that, and I'll just put it in my terms, is that God was saying to me, I'm going to bring you into this life. It's going to be painful, but it's going to be very rewarding. And I'm adopted. So my birth mother was just a vessel to get me into this world. So once I came to that kind of a clarity, for myself, just for myself, of knowing, okay, I have a purpose. I finally understand I have a purpose. That gave me a lot of peace and an understanding for my own well-being of that whole, you know, with being adopted, there's a lot of who am I surrounding it. So with that particular feeling of knowing that someone said to me before I came into this world, it's okay, this is going to happen, it's going to be a little difficult and challenging, but you can do it.
Yeah.
It gives that purpose or that sense of drive that and just that much more important to me to help people. Because I know, okay, I'm supposed to. I was told. Here we go.
Yes. I think that's very interesting because in my case, I've always accepted that if someone said to me, why don't you do so-and-so, and they believe I can do it, even if I've got my doubts, I'd accept what other people say and I'm prepared to have a go at it. And maybe the impetus behind that is that you're, as you use the expression, you have a purpose-driven life and you're really being, if you like, pointed in the right direction to express your full abilities.
Right. Right, and that's why when I finally, after struggling for so long in the entertainment business, I felt like just spinning my wheels, I stepped back and said, and took a lot of time to go, okay, I really need to figure out why I'm here.
Yes.
Because this isn't working out for me, so what am I supposed to do? One of the reasons why I had set my mind on being an actor was I thought, and once I become famous, I can have a platform to be a spokesperson for adoption. So that I had that in the back of my mind of why I wanted to be famous in that respect. And when that wasn't working out, it was, you know, it was depressing and defeating. So thinking, okay, I have to find something because I know within me I have that purpose. I have a reason to be here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. And I think that's the case for everybody. It just takes us to stop for a moment to reflect and really look inside to see, okay, what is it? Why am I here? And then once you figure that out, then, like you say, you drive forward, and then you do have a purpose-driven life. You know, it's just like someone who wants to be a doctor. They go to school, they study, they become a doctor, and then they help people, and then they live their life helping individuals. And they have their purpose, and they're moving forward in their life. And the same with you. You've found your way through life. And I think sometimes maybe it might take a little longer. You know, there are some people who don't figure it out until they're 50 or 60 years old.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Just as long, for me, just as long as you figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it takes people different lengths of time, perhaps even to arrive at that point where finally all the experience they've had suddenly becomes an actual goal and creates a target for them.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, most definitely. It's, you know, there's a saying that you are where you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So if something unfortunate happens to you, I believe that that was supposed to happen to you to give you a deeper understanding, whatever that is.
Right,
for you. You know, for me being adopted, it was a really big deal, and it was something that I wear on my shoulders very closely.
Yeah.
And so I after a while, it was always, why me, why me, why me? Mm-hmm. Finally, I turned it around to, why not me?
Yeah.
You know, that was one of my experiences. I had a very hard time dealing with being adopted. I had suicidal tendencies for a long time, and I was very depressed, and I had to find my way out of that. And like you said, I think it takes a lot of experiences in life, and when you're ready, I think you will arrive.
Yes, I do.
To where you are finally supposed to be, so that you have that clarity to know, okay, all my experiences brought me to where I am today. Now let's use them and move forward.
Yes. I would guess as an orphan, particularly when you're younger, you perhaps feel unloved, and it perhaps takes you quite a time to overcome that feeling.
You know what? I still feel that, Mike, unfortunately.
You do?
I do. And but the thing that's different now is that I'm aware of it. So if I know something that comes up that triggers it, I can identify it and go, okay, that's my feeling of not being wanted or feeling unloved. Now I need to put that aside because I'm creating that.
Yes.
So now I have to replace that with my own feeling of being loved. My mom used to tell me when I was a kid that you have to love yourself before anybody else would love you. And I was like, you know, I've got so much love in me, I can love anybody for the both of us. That doesn't happen to be true. And then I started attracting boyfriends who weren't exactly respectable, and they were actually, what they are is they couldn't love me. So it was actually a very safe zone for me. I was attracting individuals who wouldn't love me, so I didn't have to love myself.
Yeah.
And after a while of getting incredibly hurt, because then they'd break up and then the whole rejection would set in, rejection and abandonment, which is a huge part of adoption feelings as well. It's like, okay,
all right,
I just dig my grave. Now I'm in so much pain, I can't see my way out of it. So I had to really turn myself around and find love for myself, which was really, really difficult. And I'm grateful for a friend of mine who stepped up and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand in front of a mirror, and I want you to look at the mirror. I want you to look at your eyes, and I want you to say, I love you, Trish.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that. For I stood and bawled and cried, and it took me a couple hours.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not letting you out of this room until you do. Please. It was sheer torture. But I finally did it, and I do it every morning when I get up, and I finally found love for myself. So that really made the shift for me.
Yes.
And, but I still have triggers that come up of that I don't feel loved, I feel unwanted. But like I said, I know, and I can identify it, and I can put it aside and go, thank you for coming up, I appreciate it, but this no longer serves me. See you later. Bye.
Right. I would think anybody that can love themselves first thing in the morning is doing very well when you're not looking at your best.
Right, with the hair and, you know, the makeup halfway down here. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that when we come into life, that particularly where the main events are concerned, that nothing happens by chance because we have a life plan?
I think we come in, have you ever heard of tabula rasa?
No.
That saying? Tabula rasa is a saying that means that a child comes in with a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they are built upon. You know, they take the experiences from whatever happened from the moment you come in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still today, I go back and forth because I don't know that. I believe that with my belief that I was told that I have a purpose before I come into this world. I have always felt very strongly that we have, that our life is made for us, that we all have, there is a higher plan for us, but we just have to believe in that.
Hmm.
And I think with the economic times and life is hard, dude. I mean, we all have had challenges. There's all been financial difficulties, heartbreaks, car breaking down, losing jobs, getting jobs, not getting paid enough, living paycheck to paycheck, or, you know, losing a loved one. I mean, life is hard. But I think it's those experiences and how we embrace them, how we deal with them especially, is how our life is going to be passed out. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed, yes. Now, people come to you with their problems. How do you get them to move forward in life? I mean, how do you discover what a person's path should be? How do you approach that?
Well, it's done by a series of questions where you allow the person to really discover where they're at. Because unlike therapy, where therapy really goes through your past and kind of sees out what you've done and where your mindset is, I see where you're at today. Let's look at where you, Mike, are at today. What's going on? What's happening? And if you're feeling stagnant, if you're feeling like you're just in a rut, then we kind of shake you loose and see what's going on. Let's say you're in a job and you're not making the money that you would like to do. Well, maybe that's not the right job for you. It's like with me working in the entertainment business. I never went past X amount of money. I could never make over a particular amount of money. And I was like, well, what the heck? What is going on? Once I started shaking that up, I went from the comfortable into the uncomfortable into the unknown. Things started to open up for me. So it's taking a person who may be living, like I said, in the comfortable, and it's urging them to let go, to really trust in themselves, trust in life, have faith, let go of past patterns, of people who have not been supportive. I mean, I get a lot of people who have addictions or who are very depressed, and a lot of that is patterns of negative mindset of whatever their childhood is. They need to stop right here, right now, let all that go so that you can move forward. If you are dragging, think of it like this, if you want to move forward in life and it's not happening for you, look at the anchors in your life. What is holding you down? What is not allowing you to move forward? We have to let those go. You have to cut loose the anchors in order to really let a person go. And there was I had a client not too long ago whose goal was she wanted to start a particular charity. But before she could start the charity, she had a lot of life issues that she had to deal with first. So her path, even though she thought, okay, my path is I'm coming to you because I want to start this charity. Well, in order to start this path, you have to really take a look at where you're standing right now, what's going on with you, who are the people around you who are holding you back. Once she let go and started making positive decisions in her life, that charity and building her business just started booming left and right. I mean, she's emailing me, telling me, you know, I have my board of directors now. I've got a lawyer that just came out of the blue. I don't know where he came from. Who wants to sit on my ass? Like, see, it's blockers. It's energy drains and people. Sometimes we have people in our life, we don't even realize it, who we love and adore, but they just, for whatever their reasons are, whether they're resentful or they're jealous because they can't move forward in their life, they hold us back, and we allow them to do that.
Yeah.
It's really finding the courage to say, you know what, I love you, but I need to go. I need to move forward so that I can be happy in my life. And that's where it comes back to the self-love, too.
Indeed. Now, you talk about having an inner guidance system. Is that something you have to teach people to find? I mean, is it easy to find it?
I think that you have to listen really carefully to yourself. We all have an instinct. And, you don't put your hand in a fire because you know it's going to burn you. And there's a voice that says to you, no, don't put your hand in that fire because it's going to burn. Well, that's kind of your inner guidance system. Have you ever done something and then said, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that? I knew that wasn't going to work out. I knew that was going to happen. Well, if you knew that, you knew beforehand something was telling you, don't go there, don't turn right here, it could be bad, or don't go, don't make friends with this person, or this person is not a good person, or guiding you in a different way. That's your inner guidance system. And it takes a lot of practice to listen to that. It takes a lot of times to walk into the wall before you go, oh, yeah, I should have listened to that before I did that. I still do that. There'll be times where it's like, oh, man, I knew better than that, and I did it anyway.
Yeah.
But it's
Go
ahead. I was going to say it's something that you really have to practice, and you have to be in tune. You really have to listen to yourself and trust. Trust that what that, because it's always right. Your instinct is always right.
Yeah, I was going to say another word for that would be your intuition, would it not?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. And often I think because we might have a bit of an ego about things, we may ignore our intuition and then we find out the hard way.
That is exactly right. It is ego that stops us every time thinking, because ego will take over and he'll say, no, I know the best way for you. It's no big deal. Go this way. And then you do, and then you end up getting hurt and going, but you know what? There was something else. There was something else that was telling me that this wasn't right. And you are exactly right. Those are the times when I think we're humbled. You're going, oh, and I'll give you a perfect example. I went out, I surf in L.A., and last year I went out surfing, and I am very diligent about telling myself and telling others, wear your wetsuit. Always wear your wetsuit, because with the fins on your board, you could get injured. So I'm being totally against what I believe and what I know I should be doing. And I went out in the water, I went surfing, and I didn't wear my wetsuit, and my fin caught me on my inner thigh and ripped open my thigh. And I thought, for sure, I'm dead, because that's right where a major artery is. I thought, oh, I'm going to bleed out. It's over with. I'm dead. I'm gone. This is it.
Yeah.
But 60 stitches later, and no rupture to any major arteries, and I was okay. But I knew, Mike, I knew I should have worn my wetsuit, but it was that little guy named Ego that came in and said, no, it's okay, go ahead.
Well, there you are. You did learn the hard way.
See? That's what I said. See?
You've got a scar to prove it.
It's nice. Nice and jagged and really pretty. Ugh.
Cool. Right. Now, you obviously hope that everyone needs a life coach to keep you in business, but who really does need a life coach?
Well, if you look back in your life, we all have had life coaches, even though they weren't titled as life coaches. Teachers, and even if you're in Little League or in soccer when you're a kid, you had a coach. And I've always had guides. Particular people have come in my life when I needed them the most to give me a kick in the butt to say, you need to go this way. You know, there are just some times where we get so lost, or we feel so defeated, that it's nice to have someone come along who isn't a relative, who isn't someone that you know, who can give you a fresh perspective on, this is where I see you. Why don't you try this? You know, why don't you give this a try? What about this? I think that anybody who is in that particular situation needs a coach. I mean, even my friends call me up, oh, Trish, I've got just a quick question. Can I ask you a quick question? What do you think? I'm thinking about doing this. And at that moment, I'm a friend, but yet I'm also a coach.
Yeah.
So I think everybody in any walk of life, in any state of being, needs a coach, whether they pay for it or not. is irrelevant, but they will find that everybody is a coach. I decided to make that my career because I wanted to help people, and I thought that the best way in doing that would be to become a life coach and use my experiences as part of my career to further someone else's life.
Yeah. Although I doubt that everyone has the same level of wisdom, so perhaps at the in the end, you have to trust your own judgment.
Right. Oh, most definitely. Oh, most definitely. You know what? And I'm not a perfect being, and I am definitely still learning on my own ropes. But I do know from what I have experienced, and I feel confident that whatever I tell someone to do, if I give them advice or I suggest something, it's something that I have done or that I've experienced. It's not something that I'm just talking out of my ears. I don't give blind advice. I don't tell someone to do something if I haven't done it or I'm not going to do it.
Right,
so
yeah.
I know from experience that this works because I've done it.
Yeah.
Another person just has to have the faith in me that it is going to work for them.
That's
and it may not.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then you know what? We alter it and we try something else. But that's the fun thing about life coaching is you figure that out.
Right.
And you
now,
try to...
I'll just make a statement here of something I read, which is pretty obvious, really, that if you're laughing, you can't be miserable. And I know that you believe humor is very important in your coaching practice. Is that the type of reason behind your thinking, that it sort of cheers people up and moves them away from their problems and worries?
Oh, most definitely. Oh, most definitely. Have you ever seen the movie, oh my gosh, and of course, at the time I need it, it leaves my head, Monsters, Inc.?
No.
It's a cartoon, and it starts...
I know the character, but I haven't seen the film.
It starts off where the characters, their main job is to scare people, and that's how they get their energy to run their city. They scare little kids. They go in through the closet and they scare kids, and that's how they bottle their energy to run the electricity for the city. Well, it turns out that they end up making one of the kids laugh, and it just blows the energy out of control. So then they figure, oh, well, okay, now instead of scaring, we're going to start making kids laugh. And it's just, the energy is just abundant. That's one of my favorite movies because it just dictates how turning something that can, what we perceive as fear, what we dictate as fear, what we create as fear, we can turn something around and make it funny or make someone laugh. And you forget your fears. You forget everything. And it's just so wonderful. I do what I can to make people laugh. Sometimes people are like, huh? I don't get it. But I was blessed with having a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I use it as much as I can, or at least I try to use it as much as I can to make people laugh. I don't want to say that I make fun of a bad situation, because I don't. I just try to find the humor in everyday life because it's there. You know, I'm a huge klutz.
Yeah.
I could be walking down the street and fall on my buttocks and get up and start laughing because it's like, oh my gosh, only me.
That's the way to be, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
If you can, yeah.
Well, I think a lot too, Mike, it's not taking life so seriously.
Indeed, yeah.
We have so many negative things being thrown at us that it's nice to have that moment of laughter to ease our anxieties.
Yeah. Well, you picked up on the very point I was going to mention then about the way we are bombarded by largely a negative media, perhaps the type of programs on television, and you as a life coach are trying to create a positive mind frame for someone who is affected by all that.
Oh, man. Talk about a challenge. Because everything these days, you just sit and you watch the news, and it's just one negative thing after another. And it's really hard to... It's just hard in life to find the positive. I got a couple clients this week that the common denominator was they're just so depressed because they have no positive reinforcement. And that was another reason it was so difficult for me in the entertainment industry is because it is very insecure and it is very negative. You know, you watch a lot of TV shows and it's negative entertainment.
Yeah,
it's hard to find something that's uplifting and upbeat that makes you feel good, a feel-good show or a feel-good movie. And it's to, because of most of our life, is it's easier to believe the negative than it is the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes work. It's not something that one day you're going to wake up and be a positive person. You have to retrain your mind. And that takes time and it takes work. And what you have to do is you have to surround yourself with positive things. So if you watch the news, don't watch the news. If you need to be informed, you can be informed, but don't be inundated by it.
Yeah.
If you want to watch movies, watch, you know, movies that are going to make you laugh or movies that have a positive message to it that are inspirational. You have a choice. So either you can choose to live a negative lifestyle or you can choose to live a positive lifestyle. Either one takes a choice and work.
Yeah.
So why not choose a positive one? It definitely makes you feel better. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Now, in your own words, you've spoken of having a great awareness of compassion and divine guidance by a power greater than anything any one person could ever try to explain. And I would think that's a very good platform from which to do your work. Because I think everyone would like to think that the guidance comes from those higher levels.
Right.
Does that inspire you all of the time?
Yes. Yes. You know, Mike, I came from a place just personally within myself that was really dark. And like I said, I was suicidal for so many years. Mm. And just really depressed and really down. And there was always something, whenever I tried to take my life, there was always something that stopped me from doing it.
Yeah.
And each time I had to step back and go, okay, weird. Obviously there's something that has a hold on me that wants to keep me here. And this would happen over and over. And one night I decided, okay, either you choose life, and if you choose life, you commit to it, and you never use death as an option again, or you choose death, and obviously you commit to that. So I obviously chose life with a responsibility and accountability to myself. And knowing that there were times in my life where I'd be riding along or driving along in a street, and I just had this urge that I needed to move over to the left or to the right to change lanes. And not 30 feet ahead of me, there was something that was obstructing that lane. And if I were to hit that, I would have been in a very serious, if not deadly, car accident. So I always knew that there was some kind of higher power. For me, it's God. That was guiding me. But it took me a lot of years because I'd be driving along and that would happen and I'd be like, okay, all right. But I wouldn't put any more energy into it than just a, that was interesting. After I finally sat down once and went, okay, I need to look at all my life. I need to really take accountability and I need to take an accounting of my life and inventory to see, okay, you're here. You're here for a reason. You've tried many times to end it. You've got to figure out why you're here and what's going on. And I really believe that there is a higher power, and I believe that there is a higher plan for me. And I believe that I'm living it and on my way more towards it. And it gives me a peaceful feeling now to know that I can surrender any of my worries or my anxieties and know that it'll be taken care of by that power. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. You've clearly found your true self, but what do you mean by the expression, live beyond yourself?
I think if you have the chance or you have the ability to look outside the box, to really have an understanding, a higher understanding of yourself, and know, and it goes back to your inner guidance and higher power too, that we all are here for a reason. If it's not just for, you know, there's a guy who's 60 years old and he's crossing the street and he sees that someone is almost hit by a car and he goes and he pulls them away and he helps them. You know, maybe that was that person, maybe that's why that person was put here on this life. I really think that if you get out of your way, so many times we're in our way and we can't allow ourselves to move forward because of just we're just overloaded by whatever is happening in our life or in the world. We take it on ourselves. If we just can let that go and have faith that we are always taken care of, Rent is always paid. The mortgage always happens to be paid. It may be a little struggle getting there, but it will be taken care of. Maybe not in the way we want it to be, but we were always taken care of. That you will find and be able to depend on yourself, that there's a deeper sense within all of us. And for each person, it's going to be different. But you just, it's up to you to surrender yourself and to really open yourself up to allowing love in. And I think the key thing for anything and everything is love, is coming back to love. I think if we all were motivated by just pure compassion and love, it would be obviously a much different world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Now, in about 5 minutes, I'll have to bring the program to an end and just quickly announce what is happening next Friday. But one of my final questions I'd like to ask you is, what is what you call your think big goal?
Ooh, I love think big. Think big. Think big rocks. I love it. I'll tell you, my think big is creating a goal for yourself that is so big that you'd be like, how is this ever going to happen? My think big, one of the things that I want to do in my lifetime is I want to be a teacher for Oprah Winfrey's Girls Academy in Africa.
Right.
And I have no idea how I'm going to get there. I have no idea how I'm going to achieve it. I just know that that is something that I want to do. That's like my big, think big goal.
Right.
And I encourage anybody, just, you know what, don't edit yourself. Don't go, oh, I'm never going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to do it, or, you know, it's never going to happen. Stay away from that kind of mind process. Just make something that there's no way right now that I have an avenue to get there, but I know that this is something that I can achieve.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing to keep positive if you have those sort of ambitions. And who knows, you create an energy which allows it to happen. Now, we haven't spoken about your website. You have just the one, I believe.
Yes.
What would people find of interest if they went to your website? And you might mention the address whilst we've got time.
The web address is soulsatplayproductions.com. It's a little long. It's all spelled out. Soulsatplayproductions.com. And you'll find information about me, the programs that I offer. Some of my just top specialties are adoption-related issues or entertainment. If you want to succeed in the entertainment business, we can work together. But there's also everyday things that you want to deal with, if you've had issues in your relationship, if you have issues with wanting to move forward where you work, it's a community effort. We just work together.
Right. Do you invite people to send emails?
Oh, most definitely. I also have newsletter that I send out once a month, and I have an inspirational email that I send out twice a week called Soul Muse. And
right.
If anybody is interested, they can sign up on the website, and I will put them on the list to receive Soul Muse twice a week.
Right. Perhaps you'd better give our listeners your email address.
My email address is trishlay, T-R-I-S-H-L-A-Y, gmail.com.
Gmail. Yeah, gmail.com. Okay,
right.
That's fine. Got a couple of minutes left now to conclude the program. So very interesting talking to you. I must say, I do get people who are following a similar type of interest, but the people themselves are so different doing similar work. It's amazing. But I feel you're very much at home in what you're doing, and your 20 years experience proves that you certainly haven't made a mistake in what you've chosen.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to leave you there because I've got a minute or two to talk to our listeners about next week.
Well, great. Well,
thank you,
Mike.
Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a real honor. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's been nice to speak to you, yeah. And
thank
I wish you,
Mike.
All the success, and who knows, next year you may get your wish come true and you may find yourself heading towards Africa.
Wouldn't that be groovy? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh. I'll send you a postcard.
I'll keep you up to that, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. It's
thank
very
you
nice
so much, Mike.
Have
I appreciate
you on the
it.
Program. Thanks a
okay,
lot.
Okay, thanks.
Right, bye-bye to you. Right, my friends, that was Trish Lay. Very interesting interview there. Now, I have to say, next Friday, I haven't quite got the guests sorted out. I've written to one who I'm hoping to get confirmation in the next couple of days. We'll be able to do it. But if there are any problems, I've got another person lined up to stand in. So if you want to keep a track of that, the best place to probably check is on BBS Radio. Find my show in the list and see what I've entered there for next week's guest. Otherwise, if you're on my subscribers list, you're going to get the details as soon as I've got them. So I hope you enjoyed yourself today. Thank you for being with me, and I hope you'll be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.